Did you ever have one of those lives?
Amen.
I ain't talking about one of those days. I'm talking about one of those lives. You know where things aren't going the way you think they should? And you can't understand what in the world God is up to. Is He even paying attention? Is He on the throne in my life or not? You know what that's like. You're busy. You're on your way to an appointment. You're driving down the road and the car blows a gasket. You find yourself on the side of the road with a very important appointment that you have to make. And you find yourself wondering, God, are you even paying attention to what's going on down here? Or, more commonly, you're driving down the road and your husband or your wife blows a gasket. Or your kids blow a gasket. Or somebody blows a gasket. And you just can't figure out what in the world is going on in my life. God, what is happening down here? That's something we've all had to deal with. And it's something Jesus is going to talk about tonight. What you do when your life doesn't make sense. Primarily what we do is ask. And He has great news for those who have faith in Jesus. God has great news for those who have the boldness to come to Him and ask. He has great things for them. Primarily joy and peace. Now, I don't know anybody who doesn't want those things. I don't know anybody who says, give me misery, I'll take that please, thank you very much. Or they say, turmoil and chaos, no peace God, give me craziness in my life. What we want is joy and peace. I only know of one way to get there. And that's trusting God and asking Him. So let's take a look tonight at what Jesus has to say in John chapter 16. They have completed what we refer to as the Lord's table or the Last Supper. They're on their way now to a garden on the Mount of Olives where Jesus will spend a night in prayer. And on the way, Jesus turns to His guys now, and in verse 16 of John 16, He says this, "A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father." Some of His disciples said among themselves, "What is this that He says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father." They said therefore, "What is this that He says, a little while? We don't know what He's saying." They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. That was kind of a common experience with the disciples, wasn't it? Interesting thing in that very first verse. A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me. In the English it reads the same both times, doesn't it? The word see shows up twice. But that's not what John wrote. John wrote two completely different words. The first one says, a little while and you will not see me. And the word there is a word for see that means to behold, to look upon, to analyze, to examine, to check it out. The second time, a little while again, and you will see me, is a word that means to look upon with comprehension, with discernment, with understanding. So what Jesus said to these guys was, a little while and you won't be able to see me anymore, but a little while after that you'll understand. Now, they didn't get it. What do you mean, a little while, we won't see you? That part they were clear on. They knew that there was a cross in the future. But again, a little while and you will see me? You're going to the cross. How can we see you? And if you're going to the Father, how can we see you? So they didn't understand what Jesus was saying, and they were saying as much among themselves. This is one of those little apostolic discussions that they would have. I don't know why they just didn't include Jesus in it in the beginning and say, Lord, we don't get it. But here they are talking among themselves, saying, what in the world is He talking about now? A little while you won't see me, a little while you see me. I'm going to my Father and you'll see me because I go. It doesn't make any sense. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask Him. And He said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me. Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Now He's kind of getting down to cases here, and He's beginning to explain what He means. A little while and you will not see me, because I'm going to the cross. When I go to the cross, the enemies of God will rejoice. They will have a party. They will believe they've really nailed this one. But a little while again, and you'll see me, and then you'll understand what this is about. You're going to mourn, you're going to lament, but when you see me with understanding, when you understand what I have just accomplished, you're going to rejoice. So they didn't get it. But Jesus explains it to them, and I think we don't get it much of the time too. God was about to accomplish the most incredible thing in the history of the universe. He was about to shed His own blood and redeem mankind to Himself. God was up to something, but they didn't get it. Now, has God ever been up to something in your life and you didn't get it? Happens all the time, doesn't it? There you are, minding your own business, not bothering anybody, just doing your own sweet little thing. And then one day your life catches fire and begins to burn down around you. And you look to God and you go, "What? Am I not serving you? Am I not going to church? Am I not reading my Bible? Am I not praying? Am I not fellowshipping? Am I not loving you? Why is this happening to me?" And we don't get it. We don't understand when God's up to something in our lives and the things that are happening don't make sense. That leads us to lament and mourn, just as the disciples did. And it's a very natural reaction, isn't it? I've shared with you guys before how about 2 weeks into my walk with Christ, I felt that God was calling me to be a pastor. Now, that in itself is amusing right there. 2 weeks of walking with God, and I'm supposed to be pastoring and sharing with other people, and I don't even know anything myself yet. But this is the call that I feel in my heart, and this is what I believe that God's doing in my life. I believe He's calling me to pastor a church. I tell my pastor, there's a look on his face. I thought it was excitement. Now I realize it was horror. It's like, what do I do with this guy? And I began to prepare for the ministry. Began to read the Bible, study. Began to read commentaries and what other men had said. Went to a school of ministry and studied. And then I expected that God would just use me. Because I'm all ready to go. God, you know, I've been walking with you for a few months now. And read the Bible, a couple parts of it anyways. And I'm just ready to go pastor a church. And the amazing thing to me was that nothing happened after that that made sense. I went through a divorce. How can you be divorced and pastor a church? God, are you paying any attention down here? I couldn't make it work in my head. Because I'd read about so many pastors who'd messed up their lives and then got it together. And it was like putting the country record on and turning the turntable backwards. Your dog comes home, your wife comes home, you get your truck back. All the good things happen as soon as you trust in Jesus. I trusted in Jesus and the bad things started happening. My wife left me. So how can I be a pastor and be divorced? That doesn't make sense. Where's the power? Where's the victory? And then, of course, I sent myself out to Detroit and, had 4 years of failure. 4 years of not getting anyone to come to a Bible study. You know the old saying, give away milk bone and dogs wouldn't come. It was just a miserable failure. And look, I'm going, God, did you call me to do this or not? I mean, here I am. I'm serving you. Nothing's happening. And I began to realize that I was going to have to kind of, you know, make my way. Do kind of like a Paul's tent making job thing. I have to pay the bills while I'm waiting for God to, you know, get up and get moving here. And went to school and looked into some careers that I could get into fairly quickly and wouldn't cost a whole lot to get into. Found one that it seemed like God opened the door. They offered to pay all my tuition and all my books, all my lab fees, everything. Just show up for class. Well, how can I say no to that? And I can actually make a living at it. You know, the thing is, it's in the medical profession. Jim, tell them how that is. Do you get to call your own hours? Yeah, I'll never be here on Sundays or Sunday nights or Thursday nights. Or if I have counseling during the day, I won't be here then either. Well, I find myself, you know, now studying for a career in nursing and thinking, well, God, I'm getting farther from my goal and not closer. How am I ever going to pastor a church when I'm working in a hospital? And it just seemed like I just kept drifting farther and farther and farther from the thing that God was calling me to. I didn't understand it. It didn't make any sense. Jesus is dealing with a bunch of guys here who know exactly how that feels. The things that are happening in their lives don't make sense. What do you mean? You're going and we'll see you? And you're going to be not seen and then you're going to be seen? How can these things be? And so they're talking among themselves, and the Lord comes to them. And he says, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Once they got it, once they saw what God was going to do, once they understood what the Lord was up to, they were going to rejoice. Right now, all they could do was lament and mourn. And sometimes that's all we can do when it doesn't make sense. It's not that we lose our faith. It's not that we don't trust in God. But, man, sometimes the circumstances of our lives just cause us to break down and just shake us to our core, don't they? But he says, your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Now, I have experience with that. I was there for the birth of my son. I trained and I went through the classes, and I knew all the things to do. I knew all the things to say. Okay, you want to breathe now? Breathe. And breathe and breathe. And I knew all the stuff. And I started to do all the stuff. And that woman looked at me when she was in the throes of labor, and she said, if you say breathe one more time, I will kill you. I'm cool. Just backed right away from there. She was experiencing what has been described as one of the most painful experiences in the world. Your body literally opening up and another human being passing through the opening. But they say that's a pain. That's the greatest pain you can experience, but they say it's the easiest pain to forget. Because after the child is born, all your pain and all your suffering turns to joy as you hold this new human being in your hands. I know what that's like. I didn't have to go through the pain part. But we'd elected to have the child at home, and well, it turned out that there was going to need to be an episiotomy and then have to be stitched up afterwards. So I got to hold the child first. Boy, that was good. He's still got the little extension cord. He's still plugged in, you know. And I've got him, and I'm just thinking, oh, joy, God. Now, later on, it was her turn for joy. She got to hold him, too. But first comes the sorrow, and then comes the joy. See, they couldn't see that first in the life of Jesus came the cross. Then came the crown of victory. And that's the way God had arranged it. And sometimes I think we don't see that as well. We don't understand that the pain and the suffering, the sorrow we go through, as God is giving birth to something in our lives, as He's up to something and doing something, we don't understand. And so we question and we say, God, I don't get it. But His Word comes to us and He says, you will get it. And it's kind of like this. You read a book, and there's kind of a format that books follow. You've probably heard this before. Boy gets girl. Boy loses girl. Boy gets girl, right? What if we handled books the way we sometimes handle our lives? What if we read a book and we read the first, so let's say a book with 20 chapters. Let's say we read the first 19 chapters. And then we go, oh God, this is so sad. The boy had the girl. The boy lost the girl. Now everything is terrible. I can't read this book anymore. And you close it and put it down. Do you ever get to the joy? You've got to read the last chapter. And in our lives, I think one of the things that we're so guilty of doing is being so impatient. We don't wait for the Lord to write the last chapter. In your life, let God write the last chapter. Trust Him. It's painful to go to the cross. It's painful to give birth to a child. It's painful to give birth to a work of God in your life. But if you don't let Him write the last chapter, you'll never get to the joy. And that's His plan for you. That's what He's giving birth to in your life. Joy that no one can take away from you. Now, there's joy you can get in the world from all kinds of things. You can buy a new car. What happens to it? Turns into an old car. Your joy turns into whatever it is you have with an old car. You get a new car. It smells great. It looks great. You worship it. You get down on your knees before it. Wax on. Wax off. And you just worship the vehicle. And then what happens? The kids slide a burrito into the back seat. Something crawls in the air vent and dies. You know, you go to the supermarket, 40 car doors, you know, right into your side, man. You're all crinked and rinked. And it's just a mess. And the things in the world bring joy that can be taken away. But when God's up to a work in your life, And when you let Him write the chapter, you will come to the joy part. And when you do that, you come to a joy that no one can take away. You got to let Him finish writing the book. Verse 23 says, in that day you will ask me nothing. Right now they have a lot of questions. Right now they don't get it. But He says, in that day you'll get it. In that day you'll look upon me with understanding. And you won't have to ask anything. It'll all be so plain to you, all clear to you. He says, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, that's the third time Jesus has said that in one day. Go back with me. John chapter 14. Verse number 13. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John chapter 15. Verse number 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. John chapter 16. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, I'm not particularly smart. My parents had to repeat themselves to me many times. Only about the time I was 25 or 35, I started to get some of it. If God says something to you, pay attention. If God repeats it, listen up. And if He says it three times, just write a deposit slip and take it to the bank, because whatever it is solid gold. Now, He said this same thing, more than three times, but He said it three times in one day. And listen to the promise of God. Listen to this. This is for you as a believer in Christ. I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, what we want is to get from here to there. What we want is to get from mourning and lamenting to joy. What we want is to watch God write the last chapter of the story so that we can see that it works well. We want to get into the joy. And one of the ways that God loves to take you from A to B in your spiritual life is to have you ask Him for things. Now, there is a catch to it. You have to ask in Jesus' name. And that doesn't mean you make a little post-it. You get your little post-it, say, in Jesus' name. And you pray your prayer and you slap your post-it on it. You go, there you go, God, in Jesus' name. Take that old burrito stinky car and give me a brand new one. Doesn't work that way. Because when you ask in Jesus' name, you ask as Jesus would ask. You're asking for the spiritual things that God wants to do in your life. You're asking Him to get you from A to B, from lamenting and mourning to joy. You're asking Him to write the last chapter. And one of the things that God promises us is this. If you ask me for anything that I want to do in your life, it's done. You will receive. Why? So that your joy may be full. So that God can get you to the joy. How does God get you from lamenting and mourning to joy? He's ordained that we should ask Him for things. How much ground does that cover? This is the third time we've talked about this. How much ground does this cover in your life? If you ask anything in my name, if you ask anything that I would ask for you, if you ask anything according to the character and nature of Jesus Christ, you will receive it. Now let me just ask you a question. Can God lie to you? There's no way in your life that God can lie to you. So when you're in the midst of it, when you're in chapter 18 and chapter 19 and your life's on fire, how do you put the fire out? How do you get to the joy? Water's a good way. You're right. Kids are smart. And of course, this is the water of the Word. This is taking God's Word to Him and praying His Word back to Him and saying, God, You said You would give me joy. take me there. God, you said you would give me peace. Let me give you all my requests and let me relax. And now, God, give me peace. And it's allowing God to do the thing He already wants to do. It's getting on board with Him and going His way. Is the road going to be tough sometimes? Here we are. The road is tough. Giving birth to a child is hard work. I've never done it. I've had kidney stones. They say the two are somewhat equal. Never want to do the kidney stone thing again, because when you give birth, you get a child. All I got was a little rock. No joy in that, man. But it can be hard to get through the labor, but then you get the child. If God's up to something in your life, He wants to give birth to something in your life. After the cross comes the crown. After the pain comes the joy. You have to let Him finish writing the book. You have to ask. That's the way you get there. He goes on, he says this. These things I've spoken to you in figurative language. And of course, Jesus was always using parables and metaphors and similes and all these things. He says, look, I've been talking this kind of talk to you, but the time's coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And so now he proceeds to do that very thing. He proceeds to talk to them plainly about God in heaven. And he says, in that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So Jesus says, you're not going to come to me and ask me for things. I'm not going to pray for you. You're going to go directly to my Father, the God of all heaven and earth. You're going to go straight to Him and you're going to ask in my name. And He'll do it for you. So don't come to me and ask. I don't believe that leaves any room for going to Mary and asking. Sorry. Don't believe it leaves any room for going to saints and asking. Let me read it again. Let me see if what Jesus says is what I think He's saying. I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father Himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. How can you possibly go to God and ask Him for things? How can you go to God? Isn't He kind of... Don't we sometimes have that picture of God, the great big guy on the throne? Eyebrows just big old beard. Can't go to God and ask for anything. He'll get you. Well, Jesus says, you're going to go straight to the Father. You're going to ask in my name. He's going to do it for you. Why? Because He loves you. So you don't have to bend God's arm to get Him to do the things in your life that you need done. You don't have to convince Him. You don't have to persuade Him. You don't have to offer Him some great sacrifice. Here's what you got to do to get God to do the things in your life He wants to do. You got to go ask Him. And because you've placed your faith in Jesus, because you trust in Him, now the Father loves you. Not a cranky old guy on a throne, but a Father who loves His children. And what father wouldn't want his child to pass from mourning and lamenting into joy? But we take him to mourning and lamenting sometimes, don't we? How many of you had to take your kids to the doctor for a vaccination? Nothing but mourning and lamenting there. I'm not taking kids to the doctor for vaccinations, but we stuff our cats in boxes and take them to the vets. And I'll tell you, there's mourning and lamenting there. Horrible sounds come out of those boxes. Or how about going to the dentist? You know you need to go. You're in pain. So you go to the dentist. And anybody here in the dental field, please, my apologies. It's so much better than it used to be. But it's still uncomfortable. They give you these great shots that kill the pain, but first the shot has to go in. So the shot goes in. And then it takes effect. And then they take the drill and they come in. And smell of burning bone. Oh, and your mouth's open for 3 days. And you go, Shirley, I'm sorry, you just went through this. But then, it's over. And they tell you, close your mouth. They send you home, they give you some pain pills. And the bottom line is that after the pain, suddenly you notice something. Where there was a hole in your tooth, there's just straight white teeth now. and where you couldn't drink or eat, where that caused you pain, where you were suffering, even just laying still you were suffering. Now there's wellness again. And we take our children to the dentist, we do that to them. We take them into pain, they mourn and lament, but we know that what we want to do is get them to the joy. Well, there's your father. You know, unfortunately, we're not built like a lawnmower. Because if we were, when God wanted to change something in your life, He'd just take that big, long, divine screwdriver that reaches from earth to heaven. And He'd reach down, He'd take the set screw marked holiness, and He'd just crank on that thing. And set you for holy. And there you'd be. You'd be singing hallelujahs in the middle of the worst trials. But that's not the way God works. He doesn't have that kind of a screwdriver. What He works with is the circumstances in our lives. The day-to-day things we go through. And He uses those things, as painful as they can be, to change us and bring us to a place where we can sing, Alleluia, Lord. Praise You, God. He brings us into joy. You get there by asking. Let me go over it again. This is important. You need to know it. Whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give you. He's not a hard God to deal with. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. I'm not going to pray the Father for you. The Father Himself loves you because you've loved Me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father, have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So He says, guys, you don't get it, but you will. You get there by asking. His disciples said to Him, see, now you're speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we're sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this, we believe that you came forth from God. And the disciples all give themselves a big gold star, right on the forehead, right there. We get it, God. We're good to go. And He looks at him and He says this. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave Me alone. And yet I'm not alone because the Father is with Me. These things I have spoken to you that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now here's one thing I know, personal experience. Life hurts. If you're really young, you may not know that yet. But eventually you will understand that life hurts. People let you down. Bad things happen. Things that are painful, both physically and emotionally, come into your life. And sometimes we find that our life has just crumbled and crashed to the ground around us. Jesus wants you to know that God is up to something in your life. Giving birth to that thing can be painful. But once you give birth, joy. Because God has brought something new into the world. There's a way to get from mourning and lamenting to joy. There's a way to get from here to there. It's the only way that I know. You can't get there on your own. The things you do for yourself, the world can wipe them out. The things that God can do for you, you ask and the Father gives them to you. Why does He do that? Because He loves you. God absolutely loves you. In the meantime, things will still hurt. In this world, you will have tribulation. It's going to hurt sometimes. Giving birth to a new thing in your life just hurts. But He says, be of good cheer, because this world that hurts so much, I'm going to a cross. And I'm going to nail Satan to that cross. I'm going to nail your sins to that cross. And I am going to conquer the world. You'll know when you see Me come back. Then you'll get it. Then you'll understand. And all these things so that your joy may be full and so that you can have peace. Now, if I was to conduct a little poll and just say, how many of you tonight want misery? How many hands? Come on, Lord, lay it on me. Whack me hard. Nobody, no takers. Huh. Well, what do you want? You want joy or something? You guys want joy? Is that what you're after? All right, how about chaos and turmoil? How about a life that just explodes around you? Nothing stays the same. Everything shifts and changes faster than you can keep up with it. How many hands? You guys don't want those things? What do you want? Peace? This is what God promises you. Joy to the full. Peace that passes understanding. We all want it. We all try different ways to get there. I only know of one way to get there. Joy that no one can take from you. You trust the Father. You let Him finish writing the chapter. You ask Him for the things you need on the way. He already knows what you need before you ask. He's just waiting for you to ask so He can give it to you. And that's because He loves you. And a God like that is not only willing, but capable of taking you from mourning and lamenting into joy. If you haven't heard yet, you will someday. Please remember, you got to let Him finish writing the chapter. You got to ask. And then you just walk in faith and receive it. I've been watching God do that in my life, and I've been watching Him do it in other people's lives. It's the only thing I know that will take you to joy and peace. That's where you want to go, and that's where God wants you to be. That's what your dad has for you. Good news, eh? Do you get it? Father, we get it. God, I thank You tonight for loving me so completely. Who could ever deserve the kind of love that You lavish on Your children? Who could earn it? Who could do a single thing to merit these great things in our lives? But You've showed us the way. The way is Jesus. And by our faith in Him, Your love pours out on us, into our hearts, and through us, and touches everyone around us. God, what a perfect plan. So tonight, Father, I just want to pray on behalf of those whose lives are on fire, whose lives consist of pain, and turmoil, and chaos. I want to pray for those of us who don't get it. We are all there at some time or other. And I want to say, God, meet our needs. We're asking You now. If we can't walk through this, pick us up. Carry us. In this world, Father, we have sickness. In Your kingdom, we have health and healing. In the world, we have uncertainty. In Your kingdom, we have faith. In this world, we can have love if we earn it, if we're good enough. People will love us based on how we behave. In Your kingdom, we have love because that's who You are. So, Father, lavish Your love on us tonight. For those who are alone, come and be with them. Come and wrap Your arms around them so undeniably that they cannot miss Your love. For those whose walk is shaky, come and strengthen them, God. Come and set their feet on a path. Help them walk. For those who've grown weary and the arms are hanging down, lift those arms up, God. Give us Your strength. Give us joy. Give us Your peace. We ask You because we trust in Your goodness. And we receive this thing through the faith we've placed in Your Son, Jesus Christ, in His name, Father. We ask You for joy and peace. In Jesus' name.